www.thebrainfarm.com.
This is Chris Evans with a Storage Unpacked podcast. I'm here yet again, Eric Herzog, from CMO from Infinidat. How are you doing, Eric?
Chris, thank you very much. Love to be on your podcast.
So we're here today just as you've announced a whole new set of new features for the InfiniGuard platform. That's right, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. So we've had an extensive redo involving all areas. If you think of InfiniGuard, there's really three legs to what it does. One, of course, is the purpose-built backup appliance. Second, of course, is for backup data sets, providing disaster recovery and business continuity. And probably most important in today's era is the cyber resilience features we can provide for those backup data sets.
Great. Now, InfiniGuard is your backup solution, as you just said, purpose-built backup appliance type solution. We're going to go into that in a moment. But I just think, just to, you know, not re-emphasize this too much for the audience, because this sort of discussion's gone on so many times, but cyber resilience is becoming pretty critical to businesses nowadays. So we're really sort of focused on this within the industry, aren't we?
Absolutely. I think when you look broader, many times the CIO or the CISO at the big companies or the VP of infrastructure at the smaller companies don't realize that having storage as part of the corporate cybersecurity strategy is really important. As you've talked about before, you know, the average time from discovery to end of a malware ransomware attack is over 280 days. So while they're in there rooting around your house surreptitiously and rooting around your multiple data centers, if you're a big enterprise, trying to plant the malware and the ransomware, if you don't have cyber resilient storage, you know, you're leaving yourself exposed. Of course, you need the network security. Of course, you need security from the server perspective. But if you don't have storage, cyber resilience, then you're leaving yourself exposed in this era of the continuous malware ransomware attacks. I would argue it's not if you're going to be attacked, it's when. And of course, when you're bigger companies, how often? Because they sure would like to steal your money if they could.
Absolutely. And that last line of defense, I think, is quite an important one, that we're not saying people wouldn't have brought lots of other layers of technology in to try and catch people early or do anything. It's just like anything, you know, you are just making sure you've got that last step that says, should they get past all those other defenses, we've got this one that's, going to give us that extra protection, which is pretty standard in the industry. So from your perspective, your company's product, InfiniGuard, it's been around for a number of years, is your purpose-built backup appliance. Can we just dig into that for a minute and talk about what that actually is and how that differentiates from the existing storage technologies you sell?
Sure. So our InfiniBox technology and our InfiniBox SSA all-flash array are focused on primary storage workloads, Oracle, SQL, SAP, you know, running your business. The InfiniGuard is the complement to that. It's a purpose-built backup appliance. It's enterprise caliber, up to 50 petabytes of effective capacity. We do use data reduction technology. And of course, it's critical that all data be backed up, and it doesn't matter what that data is. So what the purpose-built backup appliance does with InfiniGuard is accelerate that backup process. We work with all the major backup vendors, the Veeams, the Veritases, the Commvaults, the IBM Spectrum Protect, et cetera, et cetera. You use that. You can use any storage you want. So it's not just for our own InfiniBox storage. The backup vendors support everybody, EMC, IBM, HP, Pure, et cetera. So you use the backup software, and by using the InfiniGuard purpose-built backup appliance, what that does is it accelerates the backup process. And for example, in this launch, we have doubled the performance. So for example, Chris, if one of the backup workloads was going to take 3 hours, by doubling the performance, assuming, of course, you've got the right network bandwidth to handle what our InfiniGuard can do, then that backup window, which used to be 3 hours, could be an hour and a half. And as end users know well, backing up impacts primary storage, primary servers, and your primary application and workloads. So the faster you get it done, the less impact on your infrastructure. So that's InfiniGuard in a nutshell, what we do and how it does it. And then, of course, we've added the cyber resilience technology with InfiniSafe.
Okay, so we're going to come and talk about the InfiniSafe stuff in a moment. I'd just like to explain to people who might already be familiar with some of these technologies that effectively what you're saying is, you know, you can either use this box as, say, the replacement for something like a data domain, so you can be a target in that sense. Or, of course, a lot of vendors are now moving us to the sort of the NFS mount type technology, but you can handle all of the different types of backup protocols that a backup system is going to do.
Yes, we can. So we can handle traditional backup applications. Many, of course, of the databases have their own backup technology like Oracle RMAN integrated. So we have customers using that. We have the NFS on the recovery side. We can mount, and it's very, very rapid, and we're not dependent on the data side. So if you have to mount something backups, you can then execute a restore with that Commvault software, that Veritas software. We can be up full environment in minutes. So it makes the restore process much faster. And the way we do this is we also data reduce the data. So we have what we call our data dedupe engines, our DDEs. There's three of them actually, two in an active-active configuration with a standby in case there's a failure to take over. And those DDEs do data reduction on the incoming backup data sets. So we dedupe those data sets and compress those data sets. Then inside of the InfiniGuard is actually our InfiniBox solution. So we have an InfiniBox solution inside. You have all the advantage of our InfiniBox technology with our neural cache, our incredible capability of snapshots and how we can recover. And so that then is really a secondary storage array built for your backup purposes. And because in today's era, particularly in the enterprise of multiple data centers, you can put a second InfiniGuard at a secondary location, and you could have one InfiniGuard replicating the backup data sets to the other and vice versa. Because in today's era, you know, most data centers are what I'll call active-active. They do active data, but they also act as disaster recovery sites for other active data centers. So we've got the disaster recovery and, of course, the rapidly accelerated backup and restore technology with your standard backup data sets across all those various different vendors, as I mentioned before.
Okay, so as we go and talk about the features, I think it's good for people to understand that InfiniGuard is a combination of your InfiniBox technology, which already has AI-based data placement and so on within that infrastructure. And as a result, that underlying solution becomes cost-effective as a hybrid storage from a disk perspective, as well as flash and as well as DRAM. You're using those in a mix there. So, of course, building this out as a target for data protection, people might think, wow, primary storage for data protection, but actually that's not the case, because this solution underlying the implementation is efficient from a cost perspective already.
Well, it's efficient in a number of ways. For example, we have one of our end users, and they happen to be a company that does cloud services, but only for healthcare companies. So of course, Chris Evans Incorporated and Infinidat, we can't work with them. We can't use them to do our cloud services. They focus on the healthcare space, particularly healthcare deliveries, so clinics and hospitals. And they're in North America. They had 14 purpose-built backup appliances that were aging. They replaced those 14 with two InfiniGuards. So that gets to your very cost-effective, you know, helping reduce the CapEx and the OpEx, obviously manage. And they had seven of the purpose-built backup appliances from someone else in one data center and another seven in the other. So that's managing seven different storage systems, the rack, the stack, the power, the floor, the operational manpower, all OpEx related, and taking seven and consolidating to one dramatically reduced the cost. So that's just one customer. We have another customer that's in the process now. They just purchased. They're doing the migrations now of replacing 50 purpose-built backup appliances from someone else with four from Infinidat with our InfiniGuard. So that, again, gets to that point of by combining those multiple technologies, we can be this huge consolidation point and saving them on both CapEx and OpEx, but not sacrificing, and in fact, accelerating, as we talked earlier, the backup performance and the recovery performance, yet saving them time, saving them money. And that's really important in these days, yet you can't sacrifice the data protection. And we can do all of that with the new InfiniGuard.
Okay, so I will suggest that people go and look at the show notes at this point and go back and look at the conversation that we had previously around sort of last year time with Phil Bullinger, who's now your CEO, where we did talk about the consolidation side of things. And I think that will give people some additional understanding as to why that's important and how that's implemented. But for now, let's move on and talk about your updates and what is in the new version. What is it? What is in the release that we can highlight?
So let's talk about the purpose-built backup side first. The main thing we do is dramatically improve the performance. So our previously announced performance was 74 terabytes an hour of ingest. With this version, we're now at 180 terabytes an hour. So why is that value? The key thing, of course, is to shorten those backup windows. And the shorter the backup window, the less impact backup has on your primary servers, your primary storage, and of course, your applications and workloads. So we've done that, dramatically accelerating. It doesn't matter which backup software you use with us. And in fact, Chris, we have a couple end users that actually use two different backup softwares with their InfiniGuard. So you don't have to say, I only want to use Commvault or I only want to use Veeam. You can use both. And we have several customers that actually do that. But the key thing was accelerating the performance, enhancing both the backup, the restore, and of course, disaster recovery, because when you're moving from data center one to data center two, you're ingesting data on the secondary site, of course. And of course, we've speeded that up as well. So if it used to replicate the backup from data center one to data center two, if that used to take 3 hours, again, network bandwidth willing, because we don't control that, but assuming there's enough network bandwidth on the secondary site now, on the ingest on your disaster recovery site, we've doubled the performance there. So again, a 3 hour replication now could be 1.5 to 2 hours, again, minimizing the time of a replica when you move from data center one to data center two. So that's okay. Part of what we've done in the purpose-built backup side and the disaster recovery side. That was new.
Okay. Performance side, from the end user perspective, hugely important. Now, you know, it's obvious that the faster you back up, the more you can back up and the shorter you can make the backup window. But more importantly, I think you have to remember that there's an issue of concurrency here as well. So you don't want the backup windows taking 24 hours, because then the data that was backed up at the beginning of that window is different to the data that was backed up at the end of that window. So shortening the window is a super important thing. And clearly on a restore scenario, you want to meet your recovery time, recovery point objectives. So you don't want to be taking forever to restore. So just purely from an end user perspective, that performance factor is hugely important, I think.
Well, in this way you could have what's your backup strategy? The faster the backup, maybe you want to do a couple more fulls a week. You know, instead of doing a full every Sunday, maybe you can do a full on Wednesday and Sunday, because the full, and you could do incrementals in between. So how you plan your backup strategy between fulls, partials, incrementals, frequency of such, the faster the purpose-built backup appliance, which is what we've done with this release of InfiniGuard, you have more flexibility in really planning and deciding what is going to be your overall backup strategy, and what are you going to do between the fulls, the incrementals, the partials, and any other type of backup you may want to do.
Yeah, so performance is the first thing. What's next?
Well, the second thing is really about our InfiniSafe technology, which is all focused on cyber resiliency. Remember, when malware and ransomware attacks, if I am the master ransomware criminal, you have to control all the data. Because if I don't, when I say, Chris, I would like 20 million pounds from you, you're going to laugh, because you'll just go to your backup data set and do a restore. So what they do is these cyber criminals actually attack your secondary data as well. So not only do you need cyber resilience on your primary storage, but you also need it on your secondary storage. So we add these cyber resilient capabilities of InfiniSafe across all the backup data sets that you choose to ensure. And that way, if you have an issue, you can recover, and then you, of course, then restore the backup with the Commvault, the Veeam, the Veritas, the IBM Spectrum Protect, whatever your software package is. But the point is, they will go after your backup data, not just your primary data, in order to hold you hostage to get that money from you. So that's what we've done with InfiniSafe.
Okay, we're going to dive into those specific features in a second, but I think this is a really important issue, actually, because clearly ransomware evolves, so you have to evolve with the threat, if you like. You have to evolve your protection with the threat. So it's not enough just to say, well, I'm taking enough backups and I've tested the backups work. Now we've got to, as you said, be careful that the backup platform isn't being attacked, and you've got to have protection in that backup platform. And that's, I guess, you know, the InfiniSafe features are exactly that. So let's dig into some of these and talk about exactly what they're offering.
Sure. So we see four key elements of the technology. First is the creation of immutable snapshots. These immutable snapshots cannot be altered. They cannot be deleted. You can set up the frequency. For example, one of our end users who is in the Fortune 100, they're a financial company, they actually do their immutable snaps every 6 hours. Okay, so you can adjust the frequency and set it up. But once you've configured the immutable snapshots, deciding what you're doing, then we actually create an air gap. We divorce management of the snaps from the admin. If someone were to steal admin credentials, they still can't access. So we've created what we call a logical air gap, which we can do both locally and you could do on your secondary site as well. So the immutable snapshots make sure those backup data sets cannot be tampered with, they cannot be deleted, they cannot be altered. So they are immutable. Just like in the old days with the old write once, read many drives. Chris, we both remember those.
Yep.
We've done the exact same thing with an immutable snapshot. So you can't change that. We then, of course, create this air gap by making sure it's now separated. So management, the person who started the immutable snaps and created them, he can't or she can't delete them, can't edit them, can't change the frequency. So if it's 6 hours, it's 6 hours. If it's 12 hours, it's 12. If it's a day, it's a day. So we create that air gap. Now we do something very unique. Let's assume that you have had an attack. So you now have to get to a known good recover point. So to do that, and let's say your team has cleaned off the primary servers and the primary storage. So you've gotten rid of it there, but you need to now restore data that's good. So we create a fenced, isolated network to do that forensic analysis. And one of the things that's very different is we do it on the existing InfiniGuard. Several of our competitors, when you look at their websites, they will tell you if you want to do cyber resilience, they can do it. I don't think as well as us, but several of them require multiple PBAs to do it, which means that's higher CapEx, higher OpEx. You have a data movement, which of course means it's more complex. So our fenced isolated network to do this forensics to get the known good recover point is actually right on the existing InfiniGuard box. So making it less costly and also less cumbersome. And of course, when you've had an attack, especially if in the large, let's say global Fortune 2000, they're in a panic mode. So they want this data back pretty quickly as they clean it up. Once you've got that known good recover point, we do near instantaneous recovery. We not only recover the backup data set, but all answers such as the file system. And this recovery takes between 15 and 30 minutes. That's it. So at the end of the 15 to 30 minutes, you can go ahead and you can then do the backup. And that, you know, or I say the restore of that backup data set. You've found a known good copy. One thing, Chris, we do recommend, because the recovery is so instantaneous, we suggest that just the way people practice for disaster recovery and business continuity, the flood, the earthquakes, of course, I happen to be coming to you from Silicon Valley, so we really do have earthquakes, as does all of Asia. So you really want to make sure that you're covered from that perspective as well. So really having this instantaneous recovery is very, very important. And really, no one else is talking about the recovery speeds.
Yeah, I'm going to break this down into a number of bits. So first of all, talking about the immutable snapshots, it's something that people talk about a lot. And I think I have used this term sort of time lock snapshots. I would like to sort of use the comparison to old style vaults in banks where, you know, at the end of the day, the bank would turn the lock and that vault was locked and would not open till 6 o'clock in the next morning or whatever it happens to be, no matter what anybody did. You know, that was it. Nobody could override that. And that was a security feature to stop people coming in and saying, well, we'll hold somebody hostage until you unlock it. And they, people can go, you know, do what you like. You know, you can stand there and shoot us, but unfortunately, we can't unlock this. And that's a really, really important part. There shouldn't be an easy way to go in and just override this, because you can guarantee your criminal element, your hackers that are coming in, will find that way to override it if you've got that feature. So it has to be genuinely immutable. I think that's really important for people to understand. And then really going back into this fenced off network for forensic recovery, I really find this interesting. So one of the things that I've, over my career, when I, you know, spent a lot of time actually doing restores, and I did a huge amount of work as a backup administrator, by the way, so you're probably not aware of that, but it's not something I particularly advertise, but I have done over the years. And one of the things that you definitely want is that ability to know you can test that these backups have worked. And that's always a problem. Virtualization helped a little with that because you could restore into virtual environments. But the ability to restore stuff and test it and validate it is critical to the way that you deliver your business. Without it, you just don't know. You just don't know whether you've got that restore capability. So the features that we're talking about here, I think, are absolutely critical both to any environment, but also for this situation now where we have so much more ransomware out there.
Yeah, we would agree. And we do think the capability of having this fenced forensic network to take a look at and get the good recover point, we think it's very, very important that since we can do it on your InfiniGuard and not require a second set of storage, it's faster, just the pure operational perspective. But we really do recommend, because we're so fast, that people do try to practice this just like they do disaster recovery and business continuity. I think, A, you'll get your known good recovery point. You just create an index or catalog and say, okay, on January 27th, then a week later, then a week after that, a week after that. And by the way, Chris, if you were practicing this and you found that on January 27th or February 9th or June 12th, you found that that version was bad, A, you could go back to the previous day or the previous interval, because you know your snaps can be set at multiple times. So you could go back for 12 hours if that's what you set and find a known good copy. But once you do discover that something's wrong, if you do this regular practice, you should definitely call the security guys, the CISO, the storage admins, the CIO, and say, wait a second, we've been doing this cyber resilience on our backup data sets. They were fine until X day. So let's assume that I found it, you know, on February 9th. And I go back one day in February 8th, it's good. I could say, well, you know what? At least these backup data sets seem to have been attacked by malware or ransomware between February 8th and February 9th, or you know, June 15th and June 16th, or if it happens to be June 14th, but at least you can tell people. So it could be, you know, not only good practice to get it done rapidly if there's an issue, but it could be, if you will, part of an early warning system. Of course, you've got things like IBM's QRadar, Blue Coat, all these other packages that are traversing your data centers looking for malware and ransomware. But if they haven't found it and you've got a backup data set, and when you do this practice, let's say every week or every other week, you know, so that you're ready and you actually find something bad and no one's sent the warning notice, you could be actually the warning notice. And that's something that, you know, most people don't think of. Regardless, if you don't do it that frequently, you still should practice. If there's an earthquake, you practice your disaster recovery, right? And if you don't, as we both know, because we've had customers who, you know, when there was some issue, whether it was a fire in their data center or whether it was some sort of natural disaster like a flood or a hurricane, that if they didn't practice, it took them way longer to recover. And if you don't practice for a malware or ransomware attack, it's still going to take you way longer to recover because you won't be set with your internal processes to do it right. I think that's an important thing. We can do all this technology, but if they don't practice it, doesn't matter how rapidly we can restore, how we've got the fence network. If they don't practice it and make sure if there's a ransomware attack, they are ready to mobilize immediately. And I think a lot of people don't realize, just like a lot of people don't practice their disaster recovery very well either, and just pray there's no earthquake or no fire in their data center, and you know, then stuff happens. Yeah.
So I think what we've just highlighted there is that this very top of our discussion, we talked about last line of defense. What we've just highlighted here is that you can use your InfiniGuard and your backup solution, not only as the last line of defense if you do need to restore, but also potentially a last line of defense if you do need to identify that you've even got a problem. So, you know, it's last line of defense in lots of different aspects, not just that initial one. So I think, you know, we talked about some good stuff there, Eric, and I'd just like to point people to my blog, because we've gone into a bit more detail about some of that technology you've highlighted there, the snapshots, the air gapping, the fence network, and the near instantaneous recovery. So I recommend people look at the show notes and they can go and find that blog post, because that'll be up online when this podcast publishes. So as we've got to the point of discussing all of these features, we really, you know, people need to know, when's it coming out? How does it get delivered to existing customers? What about if you're a new customer? When can we expect this in the market?
So for new customers, it's available today. From an existing customer, we do, for everyone on support and maintenance, it's a free update. And we do updates in place. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to take anything down. You just get the update from our TAs, our technical assistants that we have for every single account. And then just do an update there. For new customers, it's available today. Get all the features. I think one thing we probably should have said is the InfiniSafe technology software, Chris, is embedded for free. So we don't charge you extra for that. It's just included when you get your InfiniGuard. The InfiniSafe technology is embedded. We forgot to point out that when you buy the InfiniGuard, it's all inclusive from the software you need for the cyber resilience. Everything's included, but it's available today, Chris, and the updates for the existing accounts, it's just a software download and then ready to go.
Okay, so just highlighting that, that's a general InfiniDAT policy to include all of the software anyway, isn't it? You know, this is something that you do across the other platforms. It's not just for the InfiniGuard solution.
Right, the InfiniBox, the InfiniBox SSA are all flash solution. Both of those, exactly the same thing. The software is always included end to end. We don't charge extra. The one thing we might want to say, Chris, is all of our technology, including InfiniGuard, is available with alternative consumption models. If you want to buy it, that's fine. If you like to do our flex option with our elastic pricing, which gives you basically capacity on demand, you can do that too. And we actually have a full storage as a service offering for InfiniGuard as well as for InfiniBox. So you have flexible ways to meet your financial business requirements of the storage, right? That the finance team tells you, you know, it needs to be a capital expenditure, or how about an operational expenditure, or how could you take that storage system and make it some sort of hybrid from a financial perspective? And we have all three of those covered. So a number of different ways to procure it that meets the financial demands that is placed on when they do a storage purchase. So we can handle all that with the InfiniGuard solution. And those are available today as well.
Perfect. Now, we've got some other podcasts we've done before with your colleagues where we've talked about that consumption model and how that works in your different business opportunities. Again, I'll point people to that to go and say, go and have a look at that. That'll be in the show notes so people can go and understand exactly what you've just said there, because we've got some more detail on that. I would just say that there's one aspect to that I think is really important that, from my perspective as an end user, used to be really critical. And that is that inevitably we have a massive focus on delivering the primary storage into the environment, and our data protection systems would end up lagging behind because they just tended to get forgotten about. And as a result, that tended to be more of a panic mode to upgrade the data protection backups solutions. With your ability to do that flexible consumption model, that problem potentially is taken away, because now my backup system can be fully popped and I can only pay for what I want to use at the time, and I can expand into that capacity. So if you're applying the same business logic to the backup platform as well as the primary platform, you're taking away some of the pain that some of the large enterprises used to experience when they were expanding their systems.
Well, if you think about all the years the two of us have done storage, have either of us ever met a CIO who used to be a storage or backup admin? No. So they know they have to buy storage that's on their budget item. But quite honestly, if you think about it, they really don't understand it and often don't like it. So when the people who do run the backups, InfiniGuard, people who do run the primary storage, the InfiniBox, InfiniBox SSA, when they can say to the CIO who really only sees it as a line item in his or her budget, says, we can cut your costs and not sacrifice the backup performance and not sacrifice the primary storage performance of the real world workloads, that's something a CIO can get their head around. And they really, again, you know, I've been doing this now, as you know, Chris, close to 40 years in the storage world all over the place. And I have never, ever met a CIO who was an ex-storage or backup admin. So, you know, you can be the hero, actually the storage people, the backup people, by saying we can save money and still deliver or exceed the SLAs you need from a software perspective. And that's a good thing to make the storage team and the backup team look good with the CIO.
Absolutely. So we'll point people, I guess, at infinidat.com for this information. And obviously we'll put links into all of this in the show notes, unless you want to direct people anywhere else.
No, that's the great place to go. And one thing, obviously, since we did do just the other day an end user webinar that has been recorded, and we included not only some slides in the typical webinar, but we actually did a real recovery online while we were doing our webinar. So they could take a look at that. And that, again, will be at infinidat.com.
Perfect. And I'll make sure we've got some links for that in the show notes. So for now, Eric, thanks very much for your time. Good to catch up with you.
Great. Thank you very much, Chris. Always enjoy your podcasts.
You've been listening to Storage Unpacked. For show notes and more, subscribe at storageunpacked.com. Follow us on Twitter at Storage Unpacked, or join our LinkedIn group by searching for Storage Unpacked Podcast. You can find us on all good podcatchers, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Thanks for listening.